now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Matt Landman. Matt Landman of ActualActivist.com. He's also put together a very important documentary called Frankenskies about the chemtrailing and the geoengineering, so-called, of our atmosphere. And Matt has been out front exposing all of these global crimes. And he's also been talking about the 5G agenda. So without any further ado, Matt Landman, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Steve, our friend over with the Freeman Show, he said, you got to get this guy on because he's hitting all the points and he's out front really waking a lot of people up. So, you know, straight away, I got a hold of you and, you know, here we are. Now, for the benefit of our listeners, Matt, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you became aware of this problem? And, you know, just take us through that unfoldment process.
Happily. I like to convey to people, just like anybody else, I'm a normal guy. I grew up on the East Coast of the United States. I slowly transitioned to California because I wanted to go to film school, and I finally did. In Northern California, I went to film school, and I actually got a master's in business at the same time. And after getting out of school, I was in my mid-30s, and again, I'm working in finance, worked as a finance analyst and worked in a nonprofit. I was even the vice president of a company, and still I was disconnected to what I really wanted to do, which was evidently I found myself as a farmer, and there I felt really connected and felt really grounded and like it was something I was meant to be doing. And I learned so much even the first day as a farmer, an organic farmer. First day I learned how disconnected I was with the sky and the elements and the ground and the air. I learned first day about the actual roots of everything. Literally, I learned that potatoes grow potatoes. Prior to that, I had no idea. And I've grown up in such a rigorous educational system. You would have thought that the identity of what we're eating, the different varieties of fruits and vegetables and the cycle of the seed, you'd think that we would know something about that, especially that potatoes grew potatoes, you know? And so then I learned slowly but surely of my indoctrination and my disconnect. And there, as a farmer, at the end of the season, I witnessed weather modification right before my eyes. It was October, and we were in the midst of a historic 5-year drought. I later learned that it was a high-pressure system created by the highly active auroral research program, ionospheric heaters, HARP systems, that was creating a high-pressure bubble off the California coast, preventing the jet stream from bringing moisture in. But either way, on the edge of this massive storm that had come to alleviate our drought, I witnessed an abnormal, irregular uptick in air traffic. And not only did this air traffic come on the edge of a storm pattern, but it came and all of the planes were leaving these persistent, linear, cirrus, white clouds out of the back that bellowed out into a white haze. And as the storm approached, it came over and didn't drop any rain. Well, we were expecting 100% chance of rain for a week. And I was out there harvesting pumpkins and squash because we were worried about the rot in the field. But still, I didn't have any reference point, and I knew something was up, but I just tabled that memory. I shelved it. And then a couple weeks later, someone actually brought up chemtrails to me. I started doing some research, and long story short, after I started digging in, I found the movies that existed, the films, the documentaries on the topic and the activists out there. And I felt that really the topic wasn't being explored enough and that the movies out there weren't doing it due justice and that my voice was actually pretty powerful because the people around me, nobody knew about it. My friends, my family, my peers, nobody knew at all. And what they did know was the counter side of the disinformation, misinformation, propaganda. So I started digging really deep, and I started on the film Frankenskies, which is now online for free at frankenskiesthemovie.com. And it starts with the chronological historical timeline in the 1920s and takes us all the way to present day. And in there, the entire development of the program, the weather modification program, the solar radiation management program, the experimenting on the populace, experimenting on non-consenting human beings, you know, the citizens are being sprayed with different components to be experimented upon. You know, that's unraveled in the film Frankenstein. So either way, my path as an activist started with just waking up in that potato squash field. And once I finally got some traction, I started really getting going with conferences and the movie. And now I have a new movie about frequency and 5G. And then when I learned about, so I'll back up and then I'll pass the mic over to you. So the recent conference that I hosted, the third annual Global Chemtrail Summit, was down in Tucson, Arizona in the Southwest. I moved there from Canada to host this conference because of the normalization attempt of chemtrails, otherwise known as geoengineering. The primary solar geoengineer by the name of David Keith, he was to launch an experiment in Tucson to spray the skies publicly to see which chemicals worked best to dim our sun, because the plan is to dim our sun to save us from climate change. So I went down there, hosted a protest, hosted a conference and a concert, and made enough waves that this experiment that was supposed to unravel, it did not happen last year. It's slated now for this year, and we're still waiting to see what happens. But as I moved to Arizona, I learned then about 5G, because Arizona is the first state in the country slated for full deployment. Supposedly in 2020, they'll have 5G rolled out, which the infrastructure is so intricate that I doubt that goal will be met. But as they're erecting towers and more, which I had already learned a bit about smart meters because I've become slightly electrosensitive because of living next to one. But yeah, the 5G unraveled right before my eyes in Arizona, and I've now left Arizona to California and now to Oregon to fight 5G, and that's what I've been currently doing. But it's all been a process.
Well, thank you for taking us through that process, Matt. Now, you mentioned the solar aspect of this. Was that one of the first manifestations of this? And you mentioned that the earliest aspects of this began in the 1920s. Can you take us forward from around that time and the various stages of development since then?
Well, in the 20s, the weather modification and weather as a weapon was the primary on the agenda. It actually started in 1916 in San Diego. A gentleman by the name of Professor Hatfield, he was hired by the city of San Diego to hopefully alleviate drought that they were concerned with. So Hatfield thought that he could seed clouds with chemicals, aerosolized chemicals. He built a 35-foot tower, climbed up this tower, and sprayed into the sky silver iodide and other chemicals, and made it rain for the first time in documented history. Now, there are also rain dances and indigenous tribes calling in Oregon energy and making it rain different ways and what have you. But for the purpose of this discussion, Hatfield made it rain in San Diego for the first time in 1916. Since then, the 1920s, 1930s, the U.S. Air Force, they spent their time and energy learning how to patent different technologies to make it rain, make it not rain. And by the time we got to the 1960s and we were in Vietnam, the U.S. Air Force weapon, which was weather, had been primed and refined and polished to the point that they could make it storm and flood over the Ho Chi Minh Trail to exacerbate and extend the monsoon season as a weapon, as a weather weapon, as a war, weather weapon of war. So at that point, the United Nations and the countries of power around the world came together, unanimously voted to ban weather as a weapon after they saw what the U.S. was able to do. And ironically enough, they had advanced by then. They had already advanced beyond seeding clouds with silver iodide as the chemical and had moved on to dry ice, which is their best means of seeding clouds, which is actually carbon dioxide. So the U.S. Air Force sprays carbon dioxide into the atmosphere to control the weather. All right. So when you come full circle to modern day, and we are being blamed for our carbon dioxide emissions, which is what we breathe and what our cars exhale and what we exhale and what trees breathe. I'm sorry, it's what we exhale, what trees breathe, what cars exhale. If you look at the people that are actually dumping the carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which is really not even the carbon dioxide. If we go down that rabbit hole for a minute, the number one greenhouse gas on planet Earth is actually water vapor. All right. Nobody is even told that. And while we're told that the lines in the sky are condensation, okay, water vapor from planes, if the number one greenhouse gas is water vapor, and if these planes are spewing out water vapor and creating a greenhouse effect, then these persistent linear cirrus cloud formations coming out of the back of jets that bellow out into a white haze and change our skies, these white trails should be scrutinized, whether they're water vapor or not. They should be scrutinized, and there should be transparency. Especially if now we're being told that we're going to geoengineer and spray the skies to dim the skies to save us from a heating effect. You know, if we really want to get to the bottom of it, we should be studying this heating effect to the extent to understanding. But either way, I digress. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, those are,
so we got to modern times through the evolution of this program. So after the 60s, the aerosolization of chemicals evolved into spraying the city of St. Louis, Missouri with radioactive cadmium to see how many people would get sick. And so you've got biological components and experimentations on all sorts of levels. And then as it evolved, scientists claimed that they could dim the sun by spraying certain chemicals to reflect back into space sunlight, which is called geoengineering or solar radiation management or even stratospheric aerosol injections. There's also the Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative, a governance body who claims exclusive rights to saving the planet because they have the patents and the technology, and they claim that they can act without answering to anyone. So as the film progresses, it shows the program as it evolved, and modern day we're dealing with a multi-tiered varied program that involves spraying the skies to supposedly save us from global warming, or at least that's what they're told, and then the control of the weather, and then also, you know, experimentation, biological, and maybe even just the dumbing down of the population, like with the fluoride and what have you. But it's all evolved into this massive ongoing orchestra in our sky that not everyone even knows about.
And there seems to be an electromagnetic frequency modulation aspect to that, Matt. And I don't know how much information out there is available through official sources, but did you want to comment on that? Because it seems to me that, yes, they do something with the chemtrails, and we observe that before too long, here come the storms. I mean, it's like clockwork. If that's what they're doing in a given region, other places they may choose to dry out and desiccate, like you mentioned what was going on with California. Did you want to talk about the electromagnetic aspect to it? Because maybe that's a part and parcel of this 5G aspect as well.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the frequency aspect of it is essentially their means of control. So Tesla technology, which the U.S. populace isn't privy to, but the internal workings of the United States government, they have advanced Tesla technology to the point that they created the Highly Active Auroral Research Program in Alaska, which is an acronym for the word HARP. And HARP was an antenna array about a football field size to visualize of antennas. And these antennas can be directed into certain portions of the atmosphere. And by intersecting frequencies, these antenna arrays, they can superheat the atmosphere. Now, after you've laid out aerosolized metals, such as aluminum, barium, strontium, cadmium, titanium, these aerosolized metals in the atmosphere, especially the ionosphere, as they've been laid out and mixed together, it's even easier to superheat the atmosphere when you've got metallic salts and aerosols in the atmosphere. So that's where the frequency and the chemtrails come together. So the way that the weather is before the U.S. government or whoever, before control over the weather existed, there was the natural processes of the hydrological system. And the way that weather patterns move around is through high pressure and low pressure. High pressure is air that's moving up because of heat. Low pressure is air that is sinking because it's cool air. And then when these two high and low pressures collide, you get thunderstorms and what have you. And back when we used to watch the weather on the TV, I haven't watched TV in decades now, but I do remember the meteorologist showing the weather patterns, and the H's and the L's on the television dictated high and low pressure and dictated which way that these storm patterns would be moving and what have you. Well, by superheating the atmosphere with these antenna arrays that are now called ionosphere heaters, and they're no longer the size of a football field. The technology has been shrunk down and even mobilized, and these stations are all over the globe now. These ionospheric heaters can create high pressure bubbles, for instance, to create drought over Iran as a weather weapon, which even though they're not supposed to be doing it, they're still doing it. And then also to steer jet streams to cause flooding or not, and to literally, as far as I know, from the information that I've gathered and the research that I'm privy to, it seems that that all of the weather on planet Earth is controlled one way or another by this ongoing abuse of technology, essentially. So with the utilization of these frequencies, the storms are steered, the jet streams are steered, and you either have hot or cold based on what they decide to do. You can see it in your atmosphere on spray days especially, which most days are now spray days, whether it's the contrails, which aren't even contrails, they're precursor gases, they're primer gases that mix with the other gases. The engines that the planes have now, these high bypass turbofan jet engines, the air coming out of the back of these jets are cooled to the point that there is no condensation trails whatsoever. So anytime you see anything coming out of these jets, it's chemicals. There's just mixing of chemicals, so they look differently. So as you see the chemtrails mix together and bellow out into a haze, and then suddenly there's these ripples going through them, you can actually see the frequency patterns in these ripples on certain days. And that's when the atmosphere is being subjected to the frequencies to manipulate it in some way.
Yes, you can see that. There's almost a louvered, striated effect in certain portions of the sky where you have just like a striated effect, Matt. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, like ripples, like in a pond kind of thing. It's a similar way.
Now, you pointed out, and you were probably the first to point this out, we brought up the aspect of energy earlier, and the Department of Energy, which actually is the government agency that builds thermonuclear, nuclear, and beam weaponry, directed energy weapons, they're in this agenda as well. And apparently you can find this information on the Department of Energy website. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, yes, it is very involved how much the Department of Energy plays a role. And with such a vast conspiracy and the way that the media controls the dialogue on it, and then they control our perceptions of it, and the general populace has a wall of cognitive dissonance and these general mental conflicts and even ideologies that are conflicted and what have you, for people to really grasp something so large, to build a mental construct, everyone seems to want to know the who, what, why, where, when, and how of a topic before they can believe it, and then especially regurgitate this information to their friends, families, and peers. So the who, it gets really complex, and the what even as well, which we'll dive into. But the WHO is so many different programs at once. You've got NASA with a budget of over $50 million per day. NASA has the Charged Aerosol Release Experiment CARE program, where they spray barium, strontium, aluminum, make noctilucent clouds. You've got the CIA with this, their own program. There's all these different programs working simultaneously, essentially doing the same thing. One of them is the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, TAP, and that's out of the Department of Energy. Now, this program was launched in 2001, just before 9/11, all right, the biggest distraction we've ever witnessed in our lifetime, at least. And when this program was launched, a document surfaced called the Tropospheric Aerosol Program at the Department of Energy. Very easy to find, right there, hidden in plain sight. They do not use the word contrails, chemtrails, nor geoengineering, but the entire program is outlined all the way to the budget, extrapolated for years. They have ground-based monitoring stations, helicopters, drones that spray chemicals, mixing with different chemicals, a fleet of planes spraying different chemicals. They even do an experimental run over Nashville, Tennessee, a city in the southeastern United States, where they spray chemicals over this city and they wash the different plumes mixed together and see how much falls to ground level. And it's all documented in this paper. And they call the contrails precursor gases. They talk about mixing these gases together and how much they'll need and what the budget's going to be and all this. And inevitably, the conclusion is, after I've looked it over, is that the dirty energy, coal and oil, did not want solar power to proliferate. So they devised a scheme to dump billions, if not trillions of dollars, into spraying our skies to dim the sun so that solar power couldn't take off, and so that their dirty energy would rule the world forever. Now, what do they spray in the atmosphere? Their byproduct of their coal burning. So that's where it gets even more interesting. So you've got the who and the what and the why. So it starts to get, you know, it all starts to unravel, and it's easy to comprehend. It's greedy, evil oil and coal tycoons. Well, that starts to make sense. Okay, you know, it's like, you tell someone, oh, it's the Rothschilds, oh, it's the Rockefellers, or it's your government trying to kill your children. You know, it's one thing. They're not going to be able to sink their teeth into that or grasp that. But dirty energy companies not wanting solar energy to proliferate, now that actually makes sense. So what happens is, in coal-burning power plants, you've got these smokestacks, and there's filters, scrubbers they're called, on the coal-burning power plants. And these scrubbers filter the soot that should not go in the atmosphere because it's toxic. And all of this soot is filtered through, and they rinse through these filters, these scrubbers, and they end up with this toxic waste called coal fly ash. And this coal fly ash is put into these bladders, and it's supposed to be stored as toxic waste underground. Well, in the coal fly ash, you have these very fine burned particulates of coal, which consist of nanoparticulate titanium, nanoparticulate cadmium, nanoparticulate aluminum, barium, strontium, all of these disgusting toxic contaminants that are in the chemtrail sprays. So I've had people at conferences that I've hosted, I've had people stand up and with their research showing me that they've followed the money, that it's very easy, that these coal fly ash goes straight from coal burning power plants directly onto trains and straight to Air Force bases where it's put onto planes and sprayed in our skies. Sometimes you'll even see black lines in the sky where I think it's actually not refined coal fly ash that's being just dumped up there. But through a very simple refinement process, you can isolate your different chemicals and go up there, charge them, mix them together, hit them with frequencies, and control the weather and what have you.
Well, it's almost a form, if I didn't know any better, of pollutant recycling. Similar in a way, Matt, where the EPA regards industrial fluoride as a toxic waste, and yet it winds up in the water system. It winds up in the toothpaste. It winds up in the fillings. You know, when you go to the dentist, they always want to hammer you with the fluoride. Another thing that's interesting about the Department of Energy angle is, of all the government agencies, they happen to be key players in mapping the human genome. Now, that's kind of odd when you think about it, Matt, because they build thermonuclear weapons, and here they are mapping the human gene pool, the human DNA, and next thing you know, you're telling me they're spraying these nanoparticulates with all these pollutants. Now, for the benefit of our listeners, can you explain what nanoparticles are and the potential impact they may have on ecosystems, on us, on life as we know it?
Well, nanoparticulates are just beyond the micro level, so we can't see them visible with the human eye. So it's nano size refined dust, essentially, that can be aerosolized because it's so small, and it can actually be breathed in that it's so small, and it can, like, for instance, nanoparticulate aluminum, now that it's been sprayed on our forests for decades, the aluminum has been drawn up by the trees. It's now in the trees, and it actually disrupts the tree's ability to uptake water. And because it's an incendiary patented fire accelerant, it makes our forests now extremely flammable. So you've got nanoparticulates of aluminum in our bodies. And it's great that you brought up fluoride because, yes, very similar in the process. And also worth mentioning is fluoride, which we should avoid at all costs because we end up with these nanoparticulates of aluminum in our body, whether it be from our food or our deodorant, or if you're dumb enough to get the flu vaccine or something like that. But and then also in our air. But we do have a blood-brain barrier. After we're about 18 months of age, we end up with this protective barrier that protects our brain from toxins. And the blood-brain barrier, it can actually filter out nanoparticulates of various degree, but fluoride, based on its structure and what have you, it can move past the blood-brain barrier, right? Aluminum, it cannot. But fluoride bonds to aluminum and can actually escort that aluminum into your brain that would otherwise not be in there. So it's a multi-leveled attack. If you can avoid the fluoride, then you can avoid the attack from the aluminum. And then it's also important to not be mineral deficient and what have you, because if you're up to speed on your minerals, which we can talk about that later, then you're not absorbing the toxins from the environment. But this nanotech, the nano level, it's so small and it's been so refined and studied that there's even self-assimilating nanotube technologies where this nano level tech starts to form together in a host or in your body or in the air to form these carbon tubes that can actually self-replicate and take informed direction from an outside source. And this is where the idea of a potential web system inside of people, nanotech, transhumanism ideas come into play and what have you. But more importantly, I'm taking a step away from the nanotech and all this. I mean, because if you're trying to explain this to people, it's really important to just take a step back and meet people where they're at on their level.
Absolutely.
Unless you're already deep into this world, you know, then we can extrapolate and talk about directed energy weapons and what have you. But really, the most important aspect of it all, if we want to talk about forest fires, for instance, is that with geoengineering and weather control, we can easily make clouds and make it rain on top of fires in a heartbeat.
Yes. You know,
we can also not spray the forest with fire accelerants. That's another thing. But yeah, as you go deeper down that rabbit hole, the nanotech becomes very interesting. And there's a tech called tesselamorphosis that activates these self-replicating carbon fiber nanotubes where the nanotubes can actually replicate themselves and build themselves by I think they can get carbon, they can eat carbon from your cells and what have you. I don't know exactly. It's weird technology.
The chemtrail agenda, so called, has been going on for some time now, and what we're seeing is this myriad of illnesses. Now, granted, people are being hammered by vaccines, they're being hammered by the glyphosate and all the toxic foods, but I see it almost as a full spectrum dominance aspect, Matt, where the air we breathe, you know, the soil we stand upon, the food we ingest or the imitation food we ingest, there definitely seems to be some kind of culling at work, some kind of, and that's a distasteful subject to go down also, because people, they have this dogma drummed into them that government is good for you, that they'll take care of you, cradle to the grave. Now we're starting to get this idea that despite all their assurances, a lot of these programs may not be for our own benefit. And I think that's another problem that we run into too, Matt, is when you point something out, okay, look at the DOE website, the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, their default setting for many of these people is, well, they must have a good reason for doing it. When we know that from their track record, the governments and the corporations, they don't have a good track record. Where do you see this trending? The what or the why? Do you see a depopulation angle to this?
Well, certainly I do, especially as we start to talk about 5G and what have you. Ultimately, I feel that it's a spiritual battle.
Yes.
It's a battle against higher vibration, that there's definitely a degree of desired control over the destiny of humanity, which humanity is on a crash course for an elevation of consciousness. And that's why this technology has been introduced, and that's why we're bombarded on all these levels, because of they don't want to lose their grip and lose their control, you know? So ultimately, as long as we can embrace our humanity and let our natural process unravel, there's no stopping it. But I can't deny that, especially the next generation is under a full spectrum attack on every single level, and you can't help but think, why would any human being want to do this to other human beings? And that's where they come in and say, well, why would they do that to themselves? I've heard that question so many times over and over. Well, they wouldn't just do that to themselves, you know? And ultimately, well, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe the they is something outside of humanity, or maybe they have such a dark influence that there's this and that. But ultimately, I've extrapolated that it's a transhumanism agenda. You take into consideration characters such as Elon Musk, Elon Musk shooting out a convertible into space to convince the world that we have this Mars venture on the horizon. Okay. And Elon Musk also is part of this transhuman AI ideology, saying that if we don't become and merge with AI, that AI will surpass us and make us its house pet, he claims. And Elon Musk is part of a company or owner of a company called Neuralink, where you link your car and your smart devices through a wired cable into your jugular, which has a neural mesh that connects to an intranet of cyborg humans that are all on this intranet, you know, together. Ultimately, I feel like that there will be a bunch of lies on the horizon, continued lies about a trip to Mars. And the only people that will be able to go to Mars, which there will be no trip to Mars, but the only people that will be implanted with chips in their brain of going to Mars, just like the movie Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger, those people will have upgrades. So the part bionic people that can breathe the air of Mars and suffer the degree of travel and heat and what have you will have to have chips in their brain and this and that, and it's going to push this transhumanist agenda. Well, at the same time, we're being sprayed with nanotech, so we're getting this tech inside our bodies, but we live in a world of consent and free will, so we have to consent and subscribe to this invasion before they can actually flip the switch and have this nanotechnology activated, which is what the 5G infrastructure rolls in. And then, on top of all that, you've got the 5G agenda, where it seems like the sterilization of humanity is on the horizon. And with this normalization, predictive programming through the media, you've got movies and shows like Black Mirror, what have you, convincing the world, I've met people that are convinced that they'll be able to transfer their consciousness into a cyborg cloned version of themselves when they get older in this lifetime, in this generation that we're currently dealing with. So you've got a depopulation agenda that's full circle to the point that when people can't have children, they'll be okay just living forever by transferring their consciousness into a cyborg version of themselves, and people being completely infertile and unable to have children will be this normalized okay thing with humanity because they'll have their cloned cyborg soulless you know, version of themselves that they think can live forever. So the headline will be "Live Forever to Save Humanity." But it's all of these programs all coming together, coming full circle. And then what happens when we have soulless cyborgs roaming the earth? You know, do lower dimensional entities get to be incarnated into these beings? And then is this really hell on earth? Or, you know, what is going on and where are we going? And I personally do not consent to this dystopian timeline that we're potentially being subject to, and I'm going to fight as much as I possibly can to steer us back to the light, which I think is our just timeline that we are on from the get-go.
Hear, hear. Now, do you think that these efforts at PR, that, okay, global warming, climate change, whatever they're calling it now, the sun is heating up and we have to do our part to keep from overheating down here. Do you think in part that that's a response to activists such as yourself that are bringing this chemtrail agenda to light, you know, to no pun intended? It's almost like they're on their back foot and, oh, hold on, here we are, we're the saviors again. This is why we're doing it. And don't listen to these crazy conspiracy theorists. We're the authority figures here. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, I think that just about anything that's been coming up in the, like, just like you're speaking, and even the vaccination schedules and all this stuff, it's because, yeah, they're concerned because people are waking up and the light is shining so bright that they want to snuff it out, right? They don't want a mass awakening on their hands. You go on social media and the media will tell you that everyone is still asleep and that no one's waking up. But you go to a farmer's market or something, make some eye contact with a few people, have some conversations with people in the real world, and you'll realize that these perceptions that are constructed and formed in a fake world, in an unnatural world, are not actually even true, right? So the old saying, the revolution will not be televised, well, it's a revolution of the mind. And no, it will not be televised because they don't want you to know that everyone's waking up, because then they could lose their power. And to speak to the activists, oh, yes. So as the people started to wake up and started to speak about this, there was a complete slander program called SLAP, S-L-A-P. And really it was, the acronym was a slap in the face of the activists that were working so hard, bringing this information to light, and all the people that were waking up to the chemtrail agenda. But this propaganda machine, this was like 3 years ago now, created SLAP, which was a scientific research study that had no scientific backing, that was created by the web designer Mick West, who creates the website Metabunk.
Oh, yes. I know about him. Yes.
There's a bicycle that makes electricity by running the bike all day long, and he debunks it. He'll debunk anybody who says 9/11 was an inside job. He'll debunk anything and everything out there. And he debunks chemtrails, and he debunked chemtrails through this mock scientific study called SLAP, which was the large scale solar something program, whatever it was. But what it said was, is all of these people think that chemtrails are real, and scientists are disturbed and insulted. So the scientific community is so insulted that science has come together to disprove these conspiracy theorists that are wasting their time and energy. And then they basically had this fake bias survey that claimed that science says that chemtrails are not real. And so then every single publication, which we know that the media has been consolidated, and if you don't know, the media has been consolidated into basically five companies who are all owned by the same families. So all these newspapers, all these, aside from the alternative media, and God bless you for what you're doing and for having shows like this that we can actually speak our truth, but most of the truth is silenced. And most of the media out there is literally scripted. And in my film Frankenskies, I show a child's happiness is something on its birthday, but there's this birthday snippet that was the scripted media for that day, just handed to every single local media outlet across the world, told to say the exact same thing, right? Because the news is literally scripted. And so in this instance, the headline, USA Today, global affiliates, Washington Post, across the world, the headline was, scientists have now confirmed that chemtrails are not real. Well, then 2 weeks later, guess what the news was? Scientists have geoengineering and they're going to spray your skies to save you, right? So just before they were about to launch this program publicly to spray the skies with, you know, don't worry, you haven't seen anything for the past 30, 40, 50, 100 years, you know, all the spraying in the skies, which has escalated over the past 30 years. They don't want you to recognize that as anything. So first they had to predict, they had to program you with this media mind control. But then they're going to show you the exact same photos 2 weeks later and say, we have an idea. It's going to look like this. Planes spraying from the back of jets. We're going to spray from the back of jets and make it look just like this, but it's not a chemtrail, because if you think chemtrails are real, you're crazy, right? I mean, the twisted psychological manipulation, it's literally genius. I mean, honestly, yes. I can't, even though they're evil, I can at least take a step away and say, wow, they thought that went out really well, because the control, you have your smart device, and people would rather take authority as the truth rather than truth as the authority. Personally, I take truth as the authority rather than authority as the truth. But a lot of people, they look on their smartphone and they have a scrolling timeline of what they call news and information. And the headline is chemtrails are fake. And then the next headline is geoengineering is here to save you. And the next headline is global warming is killing the polar bears. And now they've got their opinion. You know, they didn't even have to click on the articles. And now they're educated, right? And that's the general populace. But it's because they trust their devices. They trust their news sources. They don't know about the consolidation of media. You know, the general person out there, they don't want to believe, and they've been programmed not to believe, that their government is not looking out for their best interests.
You know, what's interesting also, you brought up the term geoengineering. There seems to be this concerted effort, Matt, to sow divisiveness and acrimony within the activists that are exposing the chemtrail weather weaponry agenda. And the term geoengineering seems to be a part and parcel of that, because it's almost like they're trying to divide the activist community into different camps, a divide and conquer tactic. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, yes, and that was very well done, what they did to divide. And honestly, it's even deeper than that, but the word geoengineering, it doesn't encapsulate everything. Okay, so firstly, the word chemtrails was introduced, but as a conspiracy, and immediately demonized, and people were hired, called civil society actors, and there's even an annual meeting of civil society actors, which are government plants that go into society and become actors, pretending to be talking about chemtrails, but working for the opposite of who they claim to be representing. So they'll come in and act all crazy and say chemtrails are killing us, they're spraying us with poisons, and they frame it in such a way that now you think that people that talk about that are crazy and that that's a crazy thing. But then the word geoengineering, as it was introduced, the people that were introducing that as a concept, They said you use that word. That's your professional word for chemtrails. And the people who use the word chemtrails are crazy. And even there were activists who I believe were pretend activists who were the people in the chemtrail camp who publicly went crazy. They publicly went officially crazy and are still crazy people online. And they are the people that use that chemtrail word. So then the level-headed people that are saying you have to use the word geoengineering, that's what it's really called, they helped usher in that word. So now everyone's saying, no, it's geoengineering. You have to use that word. That's the professional word for it all. Well, those people were tricked into ushering in a word into the consciousness that is now being used as our savior from global warming. So the activists thought that they were being smart and avoiding the ridicule of the word chemtrails. And they're saying, oh, no, we have to learn about geoengineering. And then they're saying, yeah, the spraying of the sky is geoengineering. It's really bad and all this. And then all of a sudden, full circle, we're being told you're welcome. We're geoengineering. And now anybody who's wasted their time trying to bring awareness to geoengineering, they've actually, you see what I mean? Full circle, they've introduced a concept into the consciousness that is being claimed as a good thing now. So the word geoengineering has been completely hijacked, all right? What it means is to spray the skies to dim the sun, all right? And maybe we've been witnessing a lot of geoengineering in our skies, or at least the people that are spraying that, that's what they're told that they're doing, that they're saving us by dimming the sun. But at the same time, a lot of the spraying we see is weather modification, you know? Or even experimentation on the populace, or even spraying fire accelerants on trees for some global agenda to round up the population into cities and what have you. But now the focus is on this term geoengineering, and those people that have been screaming geoengineering is bad, well, no one's hearing the word bad anymore. They're just hearing, oh, geoengineering, and then someone's like, well, they've been doing it for 20 years. And they say, oh, well, they've been doing something good for 20 years. That's great. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. It's just this bait and switch, this gaslighting on a global mass population scale. Look, I give credit where credit's due. I mean, this is like Dr. Evil stuff, but they've really thought this stuff through. They understand mass psychology. They understand that so many people have this knee-jerk kowtowing towards authority figures and master authority figures at that. In the time we got left in this first segment, it's absolutely brilliant. Thank you for laying all this out, Matt. The global dimming aspect, that's another term that's popped up in the recent past, having to do with precisely the fact that so many of these pollutants have been spewed into the atmosphere that apparently, and it seems to me that that's the case on many occasions, we're just not getting the amount of sunlight down to the surface level that we normally would. What would be the intermediate and long-term impact if that is indeed a real trend, that there really is a global dimming scenario going on?
Well, there is a global dimming scenario going on. The mixing of the chemicals in the sky and has been ongoing for decades. Treasonous, yes. Ongoing, yes. And the technology to get it to stick and stay has been advanced to the degree that they can spray less and make it stick longer. There's a pan evaporation test done out of the Middle East in the desert showing that water doesn't evaporate as fast as it used to because the sun is slowly dimming. And what does that do? Well, it definitely impacts the people and the plants and even the plants. There's germination cycles. I've spoken to farmers and their plants are all out of whack. They don't know what time of season it is. But especially it's our biological rhythm, our biological clock. Our bodies are tuned to the Schumann resonance of the earth, 7.4 hertz, I believe. But our biological clocks have a circadian rhythm. And this rhythm has been in our DNA for lifetimes, okay? Our ancestors had this biological clock, and it was set to the patterns of the moon and the sun and our endocrine system and our pineal gland. Our physiology, our biology, our entire our electrical system as beings knows the time of day that it is based on how much sunlight we're getting. All right. And as we lose sunlight and then we replace it with these devices, our clocks are being completely thrown off. All right. It's not just vitamin D. I mean, we're not getting as much vitamin D, of course, and our plants aren't getting as much sunlight and nutrients and what have you. But I think it's an overall adjustment of our hormonals, our everything, our serotonin, our melatonin. And with the lack of sunlight, our bodies are now absorbing blue light, and we're getting pulled from the natural world. We're going more into the unnatural world, and we're getting in front of these devices, and we're being surrounded by these frequencies. And really, ultimately, the 5G frequencies, once they're everywhere, it'll overcome the frequencies of the sun, because, and like we'll talk about in the second hour, these frequencies are the exact same speed that light is, 186,000 miles per second. So these frequencies that we're being bombarded with are actually, as the sun is dimming, it's ultimately replacing our sunlight. And people talk about terraforming the planet, terraforming the human race. To what end? I don't know. But definitely there's a slow and steady change happening. The old saying, you drop a frog into boiling water, the frog drops right out. But if you slowly turn the water up to a boil, the frog will just sit there. Well, that's what the human race is experiencing right now. And what are we being, like, to what degree are we being changed? Who knows? I mean, when have we experimented on the human race over generations losing its life source energy from the sun? I think the implications could be drastic.
Yes, it's like the worst sci-fi nightmare movie to wake up in. Well, this has been a fascinating, thought-provoking first segment, Matt. Can you let our listeners know what your websites are again?
Yes. Please check me out at actualactivists.com. Also, frankenskiesthemovie.com. And then follow me on Facebook. Subscribe to me on YouTube at Matt Landman. And then I've also got a GoFundMe for my protective clothing line, where I'm lining clothes with silver to protect from harmful radiation from cell towers and what have you. And that's GoFundMe.com/protectionclothing. Thanks so much.
Great idea, Matt. You've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show with our very special guest, Matt Landman. We're just getting started. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.